Checkpoint Intimates. Yes, you are here on Checkpoint Intimates, your weekly gaming podcast where two members of the Checkpoint team get intimate and one-on-one on a particular gaming topic. My name is Luke, taking the reins from Elliot this week. Intimates is normally his little baby, but I'm being intimate today for the first time with Edie.
Yes, it is the first time between you and me.
It feels good. I feel like we've been leading to this moment for a while now.
Yeah. Well, we have a lot of similar interests, you and I. Yeah.
This is true. Danganronpa. We could do a whole series of episodes on Danganronpa alone, for example.
Oh, yeah, we could. We could speak for hours and hours.
Yes, but we're not going to do that, don't worry. We are talking about something a bit more personal today.
Yeah, I've got a personal tale to tell.
Yeah, and it's to do with, I guess, as gamers, we're very passionate people. And I think that gamers across the board are very passionate about the thing they love.
Yeah.
And it can be a certain genre, it could be a certain video game franchise. People feel quite connected to them. I think it's because it's part of their childhoods in some ways.
Yeah, and it's a story that you literally engage with.
Yeah.
The story can touch you personally, and because you're playing through it yourself, you know, you can grow this attachment to it that you might not otherwise with something like a book or a movie.
It's a different level, or it can be a different level, that's for sure. But you had a bit of a disagreement with a friend of yours.
Yeah, I did. It's actually the opposite. We're talking about.
Got the tea out, listening.
Just like we can have an attachment, a positive attachment to a game, you can also have a very negative attachment to something.
Right.
So, and this comes about, a lot of you will be familiar with the phenomenon where you go on the online or in some space, talk about a video game, and then you get someone who says, "No, you're wrong, that game's awful. That game's terrible, I hate that game, and you're wrong for liking it." And it's such a strange thing to me because I'm a very empathetic person, and even when I can't understand why someone likes something, I don't understand why people like 50 Shades of Grey, you know?
Yeah, sure.
Exactly. I just straight up don't understand it. However, you know, that I would never say that that means that it's terrible and the people who like it are wrong. There's clearly something about it that I just don't see in it.
It's not for you. Yeah. That's how I think about it. If I don't like something, I just go, you know what? That wasn't made for me.
Yeah,
and
it
that's
wasn't,
okay.
It wasn't made for me. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So this tale is about the game Detroit Become Human for PS4.
Right.
I loved it. The writing has come under some criticism for being a little bit silly at times.
Yes.
Specifically the lead writer, David Cage, because he is such a presence. It's normally you'd hear about the game studio, but this time you hear a lot about the lead, one of the co-founders, David Cage.
It is quite unique, isn't it? There's only a couple where that really sort of stands out. It's like him and like Kojima.
Yeah, that's it.
That's kind of it, you know? Everything else is a studio, but really, he has this sort of style that sort of just kind of comes through all the work that they do.
Yeah,
with
exactly.
With that team, which is interesting.
So, my friend holds the opinion that nothing David Cage has done has ever been good. And so when I expressed the fact that I enjoyed Detroit, his response was, "You're wrong. That game is terrible." And I said, "Oh, that's interesting. I didn't realize you'd played it." And he replied, "I have not played it. I just know."
That's the worst kind of troll.
Yeah. So when I tried to point out that his opinion might be misinformed, he became quite heated, and I did as well.
Yes.
And neither of us changed our minds, of course, but we just ended up very frustrated at each other. And it got me thinking about how strange that is, that someone can be so passionate about something that they don't like. When you're talking about something like art, it's very easy to understand when you disagree on something like civil rights, like how somebody should be treated. If you disagree on that, if you hate how someone has chosen to believe something about that, perfectly understandable. But when it's about a video game, I mean, I just don't get that, Luke.
Well, it is funny because we are literally game critics, right?
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Part of our role is to play video games and then relay our thoughts on what works and what doesn't out to the public. And that opinion then sways people to either buy a game or not buy a game. So it directly impacts their purchasing decisions, right? And I think that, you know, we say the argument like video games can be art or they're perceived
yes.
like art. However, most art, you don't review it and give pros and cons and kind of critically analyze it. Most art, you look at it, you have a subjective thought about it that's personal to you, and it might make you feel something or not, but then you move on from that piece of art. Whilst video games, I think we break them down. We literally look at, oh,
yeah.
there's a glitch here. Oh, that mechanic doesn't work very well. The controls don't relate. The story was bad. This character was poorly written.
Yeah.
You know, it's really things that we break down. I think that gives people like your mate, it makes them think that they're a critic as well, or they can be as critical of something.
Yeah.
Because that's how the industry works. It's all about those reviews and those opinions and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's true. From my personal perspective, I do consider video games art. And so while I do review them, and I can always point out flaws, because I consider it art and no person sees art the same way as another person, it's very hard for me to make an objective statement like, oh, this thing was entirely bad. And so when I hear someone do say this was entirely bad, I'm thinking, well, from what point of view? Like, everything? The soundtrack was bad. Like, the controls were bad? Everything was bad.
But, I mean, there are some games that you come up in history, like Superman 64 and stuff
Ooh,
like that,
yeah.
where you kind of go, okay, that was objectively terrible all around.
Yeah.
I know there was
so
one person
it's
that loved that.
It's interesting, yeah.
Yeah. But what I find more interesting is the fact that your friend has such a specific point of view when he hasn't even played the game himself.
Yeah, he feels confident that he can judge the game as a whole based on what he's seen in previews. He watched a couple of YouTube small videos, edited
yeah.
videos of it. And I was quite shocked that he thought he could judge the game as a whole.
Yeah.
Based
It'd be
on
like
that.
Watching a movie trailer, like one movie trailer for Harry Potter, and then being like, I hate Harry Potter.
Yeah, well,
how do you even know if you hate it if you haven't tried it?
Here's the thing that I understand. You can quite easily take a look at a trailer and say, I would hate this. You know, I know that this holds no interest to me, and in my opinion, this looks terrible. I absolutely understand that. So that when you're saying that, what you're not saying this thing's objectively awful. You're saying I think this thing looks like it will be terrible for me. When people generally say, "Oh, it looks bad. I'm not going to see it. I'm not going to play it. It looks bad." That's what people mean.
Yeah.
I feel like I will not enjoy this game.
Yeah, and I guess it does tie into your own personal bias of the things that you like and don't like. Like
yeah.
for example, if there's a movie at the cinemas. If it's directed by Michael Bay, you know, that's
loud and confusing.
Yeah, loud and but you know what? I don't always want to go and see an action-packed movie. I don't really like that much, you know.
Yep.
I know it's just special effects bonanza, and that's not for me. And so you do sort of have certain creators where you instantly do tie them to a certain thing, and you think,
yeah.
well, I know I'm not going to enjoy that. And I think that's what your friend is trying to say, but the way they're
yeah.
going about it isn't right.
Yeah, and what I found disrespectful in this instance was that when you look at a Michael Bay trailer and say, oh man, that looks awful, and I know it's going to be awful because I've seen other Bay movies and they're awful in the same way, so I know that's going to be awful. But then later a friend comes up to you and says, actually, that was really good. I liked it. Now you have two choices. You can either stick to your presumptions and say, no, I think you're wrong, even though this person has seen the movie and you haven't. Or you can say, oh, perhaps there was something about it that wasn't as awful as I presumed.
Tell me why. Justify
yeah.
it.
Yeah, you know, I would, you know, you might not even be interested in really hearing what that other person says because maybe, you know, your opinion is not going to change.
But if you value them as a person, you probably
you respect them as a consumer
yeah.
of media, then you'd at least go, oh, okay, so maybe it had some good things for some people.
So did you feel, like, offended by this? Because that
I
was
felt
sort of
disrespected.
Right.
It was the first time I've ever felt disrespected as someone who has a Bachelor of Games Design for someone to say, you're wrong, you're objectively wrong about this game that I've never played. It was astonishing to me.
Yeah, and I mean, you can say what you want about Detroit, and you can say what you want about the writing, and some of it being a bit silly, and some of David Cage's, you know, previous games and stuff like that, but the bottom line is that is a very well-made video game.
Yeah.
It's hard to say it's just complete trash.
Yeah, there's nothing good about it.
It looks amazing.
The soundtrack is beautiful. Oh, absolutely beautiful.
The way they do the narrative path thing differently, where you can go back and see the choices you made and how it could have changed things without having to replay the entire thing and just see what happens.
Your choices really do matter in that game.
It isn't
like some previous David Cage games where you've made some choices and they really didn't matter in the end.
Yeah. I mean, I'm biased too. I reviewed Detroit and I really liked it too.
And I'm biased too because I love the game.
But I think that, again, I think it's really important to, when you go into these conversations with your friends, to go, look, I'm biased and here's why. However, here's my thoughts. Because then you're putting it out on the table, right? You know, I've been playing and reviewing Dragon Quest recently. Mm-hmm. I have played Dragon Quest my entire life, one of my favorite game franchises. So that makes me both the best and worst person to talk about it. Because I'm so biased.
Exactly.
So the passion's going to be there, and you're going to hear things about the game from me that no one else will understand, and that's a cool thing. But you're also not going to hear necessarily all the really bad things about the franchise too, because I don't really see that with my biased fanboy blinkers on.
It's out of your cone of vision. You just can't see it. It's invisible. I can't see suddenly. I'm blind.
So do you have any games or franchises that you just adamantly love and that you just can't talk bad about or hear bad about? What's your like fangirl game, you know?
It's very hard for me to hear any complaints about The World Ends With You.
Oh.
Which I'm so excited for Final Remix.
I know, right? How good's that going to be?
Yeah. Oh, great game. I'm actually planning to get a tattoo of the main symbol somewhere at some point. I'm in love with it.
It's interesting because you have chosen pretty much a perfect experience to talk about. So.
Yeah, that's true. Danganronpa is another perfect example. It's very hard for me to hear criticism about that game, although I will always concede a few points that perhaps could have been done better.
And I guess that leads into sort of particular genres of video games as well. Because Danganronpa, I mean, it's a graphic novel, narrative, mystery, thriller, whatever you want to call it, crime, detection. It's a mix of all sorts of weird things.
And it carries a very particular tone to it.
Yeah.
It's very out there, and it is very jarring for a lot of people who can't get into it because of its particular atmosphere of unease, but also, like, I don't quite know how to explain it. It's
uncomfortable
young,
in a way.
Yeah, it's sharp. Yeah.
Yeah, it's violent. It doesn't shy away from graphic language and graphic visuals.
Yeah.
It's interesting. And I think that, you know, with genres, it's people do dismiss games entirely based on that alone. They'll go, oh, that's got a lot of text in it. I don't like reading. I like playing games. I'm not interested. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they'll go back to playing Call of Duty. Or something like that. And there's people that also will avoid games that are just action and stupid and shooting stuff. They want more nuance in their video games.
Yeah.
They want dialogue like in The Witcher and stuff like that. So I think that, you know, the bias and your fanboyism towards certain genres can impact how you view other games as well.
Yeah. It is very hard to hear criticism about something you love because from your point of view, you love... Say someone says, I don't like this thing, you know, but you love that thing because you know something about the game that makes that thing important. Like, you've seen something in the game and you think, well, this is the reason that thing exists. It's not there for no reason. It complements this other part of the game, but the other person might not see it that way. So from their point of view, your response doesn't mean anything to them and you're still wrong.
Yeah. And I think it is important though, when you are talking about things that you enjoy, to acknowledge when there are flaws as well.
Yeah.
And I think for me, one of my favorite genres of video game is horror. Uh-huh. I love horror games, right? But there are a lot of horror games that I love where I completely understand there are big problems, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, Silent Hill, for example. I love my Silent Hill games. Yep.
I couldn't play it. You're going to need to be there with me if I ever play it.
Hold your hands.
Yes.
you know, that's a game where I can literally go, I love that game. My favorite games of all time. But the combat is terrible. Like, it is not fun to play. You, like, got this wooden plank and you're like, you'll hit and you'll, like, miss completely.
Yeah.
And try and spin around, but the enemies are behind you and you can't see them. And you're like, what the hell? You know, Resident Evil with its old fixed cameras and stuff like that. you know, yeah. You can literally look back at that and go, that was not a good thing. That was bad game design. But you'll
still replay it because, yeah, it's that game that you love. Yeah, exactly. You
remember those bad things.
It's that part where you're like, oh, God, this part, but you still get through it. Or perhaps it even holds your amusement now because it is so laughably bad.
And we're seeing that a lot today in terms of a lot of games being remade and remastered for current generations that came from PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2, Xbox, GameCube, things like that. And I know that current kids are going to play these games and go, this is terrible.
Yeah.
But I'm like Shenmue came out recently again.
Oh, yes. That's a very good example in this case.
And I know, without even playing it yet, I know it doesn't hold up today. I know it doesn't. But I love that game so much. And I hate the thought that some kids are going to play and go, this is shit.
And because it was so important at the time. It paved the way for so many good things about video games. So for people who don't have that context, to look at this game and go, oh, this waiting around is like the pitchfork. I mean, not the pitchfork, the forklift, yeah.
The forklift bit.
Totally understandable from their point of view, but at the same time, you just don't get it, man.
You just don't get it.
You just don't understand.
It's not for you.
Yeah, leave my thing alone.
And I think that every time there's, you know, a movie, a TV show, anything that's in this sort of spectrum of pop culture where there's narrative and story involved, I think people are going to have opinions and they're going to get up in arms about things and they're going to have some really unfair opinions on things as well. Because video games are so public. I mean, right now you walk into the street, you can't walk through Melbourne without seeing big billboards, posters and trams for Spider-Man, for Shadow of the Tomb Raider, these major releases, there's advertising on television. You know, even people like my mum who don't play video games, they know about these products because they're so in everyone's faces. And when that happens, people are naturally going to want to have an opinion about something to be a part of that conversation.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
You know, so they're going to want to be like, well, I don't like Lara Croft. Okay, why? You know, oh, she just looks dirty. I don't know.
Like, she looks dirty. Well,
dirty girl.
Well, they're not even objectively wrong. She does always look dirty on the box art.
Literally in mud. Like, I think video games are in that sort of commonplace now where it's not some niche where you don't know what it is. It's like everyone knows these brands.
And that's great in the long run. It's so great that it's more commonplace. You're not going to get teased for playing video games because it's the norm now.
And hey, the bottom line with your friend as well is, you know, you'd rather them talk about your game negatively than not talk about your game at all. Right? Any publicity is good publicity, in a way.
Not in this case. I wish he'd shut his mouth.
Fair enough.
But yeah, generally, as long as there's a dialogue, it's fine. The problem in my case is that there has not been a dialogue.
Yes.
It's been completely shut off. I can talk about the flaws of Detroit Become Human for hours upon hours.
But you can definitely look at the positive sides.
Yeah,
as well.
Exactly. I love talking about the game. I love talking about its flaws, what it does great, because there are things that it does great.
Yeah.
As long as there is a dialogue, I'll always be happy. So in that regard, so any publicity is good publicity in that regard.
Yeah, but
has to be a dialogue.
Yeah, I always welcome a conversation about something that someone doesn't like and I like it. But yeah, it needs to be justified.
Yeah.
That's the thing. That's the bottom line, in my opinion, not playing the game, it's not justified.
Yeah, you are absolutely within your right to say, that game doesn't look good, I'm not going to play it, I know I won't enjoy it if I do. Perfectly justified. But to claim your opinion that it is utter garbage to be true and correct is a misinformed statement.
Yeah, and look, haters are going to hate.
Haters are going to hate.
Us fanboys, fangirls.
They can die mad about it from my point of view.
And both sides are going to exist very passionately forever, and the industry is going to grow and grow and grow, and it's going to keep on happening the more public everything gets. That's all time we have for Intimates today.
Aww.
Catch us next week for another Checkpoint Intimates. Edie, thank you for being intimate with me today.
Oh, good. I love being intimate with you.
I was really in need of that. Yeah, can we cuddle after? I really like that as well.
You know I love cuddles.